Hi, Threads. Happy Easter. I hope this has been a good morning for you. I don't know what the weather's going to be like. I'm probably not going to be sitting outside tomorrow when we all watch this together. What I know is this. Today we celebrate the fact that our Lord has defeated death. I hope everything about today helps you remember that. You will need some elements. I tried to make sure everybody knew about it last week. But if not, take a second. Go get some bread. Go get some juice or wine. If you don't have those, use whatever you need to, okay? A cracker and anything else will work. But we're going to do the Lord's Supper together, which I think is very meaningful. It's always meaningful, but all the more so today when we are taking communion when we're actually separate. I'll wait just a sec. Actually, I'm not going to wait because there's a pause feature. You can pause it, okay? But please go get that. Otherwise, keep on being the church and reaching out to one another. Let your love for one another be known. Make sure each other's taken care of. Please try to contact somebody this week that you have not contacted in the past week. I'd hoped we would be together by now. Obviously, we're not. Don't let the physical distance socially distance us. Would you join me in prayer? Come here, buddy. Father, thank you for today. Thank you that so many millennia ago, your Son defeated death. Help us to remember together that we serve a risen Savior. I pray this in the name of Jesus, the one who defeated death. Amen.
We're reading from Psalm 136, verses 1 through 9 and 23 through 26. This is a responsive psalm, so please respond with us with the phrase, "His love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
His love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
His love endures forever.
Who by his understanding made the heavens.
His love endures forever.
Who spread out the earth upon the waters.
His love endures forever.
Who made the great lights.
His love endures forever.
The sun to govern the day.
His love endures forever.
And the moon and stars to govern the night.
His love endures forever.
Verse 23. To the one who remembered us in our low estate.
His love endures forever.
And freed us from our enemies.
His love endures forever.
And who gives food to every creature.
His love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven.
His love endures forever.
Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed to the tree? Were you there when him in the side? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Sometimes it causes me to tremble, 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 from the grave. Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Oh, 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 sometimes it causes me to tremble.
Psalm 40, 1 through 5. I waited a long time for the Eternal. He finally knelt down to hear me. He listened to my weak and whispered cry. He reached down and drew me from the deep dark hole where I was, stranded, mired in the muck and clay. With a gentle hand, he pulled me out to set me down safely on a warm rock. He held me until I was steady enough to continue the journey again. As if that were not enough, because of him, my mind is clearing up. Now I have a new song to sing, a song of praise to the one who saved me. Because of what he's done, many people will see and come to trust in the Eternal. Surely those who trust the eternal, who don't trust in proud, powerful people, or in the people who care little for reality, chasing false gods. Surely they are happy as I have become. You have done so many wonderful things, had so many tender thoughts toward us, eternal my God, that go on and on, ever increasing. Who can compare with you?
This is Psalm 67. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him.
Happy Easter. Today is the day. This is what our faith is all about, is remembering what happened on this date. So before I say anything else, let me read from Matthew's account of this date. This is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28. I'll be reading verses 1 through 10. And this is what the Word of the Lord says. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. Suddenly Jesus met them, saying, 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Today is what it is all about. Paul says that if there is no resurrection of the dead, then we are to be pitied above all men. For you see, we preach that death has been defeated. As a church, we come together and we proclaim that we have found a Lord who defeated death. And well, death is all around us, even though we are constantly trying to hide from it. It's the basics of our faith, that the story begins where God has placed us in a spot where we are surrounded by love, where humanity is in relationship with each other and with Him and with creation. And yet, out of our own selfishness, we grasp towards what we should not have grabbed for. The irony is that we didn't have to. God had told humanity to eat the fruit from all the trees except for one. The reason this matters is there are two trees that are specifically mentioned. One is the tree of life, and the other is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And all God said was, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do, you will surely die. Do you notice He didn't tell us that we couldn't eat from the tree of life? He didn't say don't eat from it. And yet the reality is, we all know as humans, we are constantly grabbing after our own selfish desires. We are grasping to be like gods, to be in control of our own destiny, to be the masters of our own fate. We grasp after that even though we know it destroys us. Instead of grabbing after life, we grab after this selfishness that hurts us and hurts others and hurts creation. It's not something new. And so we're surrounded by death from our own choices. Our choices have brought death over and over again to ourselves, to the people we love, to the environments in which we live. And yet we are so scared of death. That's why many people avoid hospitals, because they don't want to be around sickness and illness and around those who are dying. And that's why we take these graveyards that used to be the center of our societies and we push them off. We rightly hate death, and yet we wrongly choose it over and over and over again. And yet the cornerstone of Christian faith is that we have a God who has defeated death by going through it himself. Now, death is not just physical, it's separation. It's what actually happens in the garden right there. They don't immediately cease to exist, but their relationships with God and with each other and with creation, they are separate from each other. The man now looks at the woman and blames her. God, it's the woman that you gave me that caused this. God, is they're now hiding from him instead of longing for him. And now they have to work the soil, and it's the sweat of their brow that produces things. That separation happens there. We see that separation. We know that pain. To be honest, you probably know that pain right now. We are in the midst of this time period where there is isolation all around us. There is death all around us, not so much in the physical ceasing of existence, but in the separation that happens there, where we long to see each other. We want to be with one another, and instead we are secluded. One of my favorite descriptions of the new heaven and the earth, the time period where God's kingdom will be finalized on earth, comes out of the book of the Revelation. It's the 21st chapter. This is what it says. The very first verse of the 21st chapter says the following. It says that a Jeep will drive by while I'm doing this. No, it does not say that. Actually, he's stopping. I wonder if I'm about to be interrupted. It says the following. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea." It's really such a simple line, no longer any sea. In the Bible, seas are often, oceans are often, a way of portraying separation. If you think about it, in the ancient Near East, in ancient times, seas were this thing that separated you from where you needed to be, separated you from people that you loved. It was a difficult way of travel, and it meant that you weren't going to see somebody. I can't imagine the number of times that there were partings that took place where someone went to the shore to say goodbye to someone. That's my phone going off. That's Eric Glaze. Hi, Eric. I'm going to turn this off, and I'm going to mute it now. Here we go. Now Eric won't interrupt us anymore. I can't imagine the number of times that there were partings that took place at seas, and people longing to cling on to their loved ones, but knowing that they couldn't. We deal with the separation still. I mean, realistically, when someone dies, the death that we experience from them is not just the ceasing of their existence, but that our relationship with them doesn't continue in the same way. We long to be able to share things with them, but we can't share those things with them. And that separation, that's what Jesus endured for us. He cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And this matters so much because Jesus is a part of the Trinity. He is God the Son. God had never known that separation that takes place because of rebellion. He had never known the end of the relationship that takes place because of our own selfish choices. Instead, He is the Father loving the Son, and the Son loving the Spirit, and the Spirit loving the Father, and just this big wiggly-woggly rigmarole that goes in together where they are completely together as a friendship and a unity, and yet on Good Friday that separation takes place. But on Easter Sunday, that separation ends. Do you understand why the women would respond in joy? Because they went there to mourn their rabbi who they loved, and they were just going to show some last respects, feeling the pain of that separation. And instead, what they find is that separation is ended forever, and it will never happen again. That separation is no more. Instead of partings that take place at the sea, there will no longer be a sea. And instead of partings that take place at a sea, instead He's going to bring about a world where there will no longer be any partings. How could creation not respond in joy? Earlier today, Pam and I made jambalaya, and we just told anybody that saw our post, you could come get it. And it was so filling to see our friends, even briefly, standing 12, 13, 14 feet apart from one another. We were so excited to see each other. And I can see how 3 or 4 weeks from now, we're going to be able to spend time together. And I'm probably not going to be able to control myself. There's a really good chance that I'm going to end up hugging Eric, even though I know it's going to drive him nuts. And I'm so sorry, buddy. Please don't let it chase you away from the church. It'll only be for a brief second. But because that moment's coming. That moment is coming when we will be able to be together and we'll be able to shake hands and pat each other on the back and hug one another and get excited. And I'm sure Jan's going to hug everybody. I can feel it, and I'm already excited about it. We've only had a brief moment of separation, and I'm excited about us getting back together. Can you imagine the joy that happened when the God who had never experienced that separation before experienced it to be able to bring us into communion with Him? When He went from being separated from the Father to being joined again with the Father and Spirit? How could creation not be sucked up in that joy because the Godhood, the Godhead, was back together and they had to have joy like you could not imagine? That's Easter. We serve the God of the living. We are in love with the God of the living. And He will always be living. Easter Sunday is the day where death no longer has any sting. Because the Lord of the land where there is no sea defeated death. Today we remember He defeated death. And that when we confess with our mouth that He is Lord, and we believe that He was raised on the third day, we are saved from our fear. We are saved from our hopelessness. We are saved from our sinful, selfish choices. We are saved from death. I hope you know that. We're going to do something now that we all can remember it by. So Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, as we read earlier, went to the grave to say goodbye, to show their respects to the one that they were desperately missing. And what they discover at the grave is that they don't have to be separated from Him any longer because He's defeated death. And I love where it says that the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. As I said earlier, how could creation not respond in joy when the Godhead was back together, was united? So they are caught up in this joy, the joy of being back together. And our Lord gave us a meal to remind us that we are not alone. Not sure if y'all can see Clive now or not, but he smells what I'm about to talk about. And no, buddy, you don't get this, okay? He gave us this meal that we call communion. This communing together as we commune with the Godhead and we commune with creation because of the fact that Jesus' death and resurrection have brought together what was separated by our sinfulness, have brought together what was separated by death. And He gave it to us for us to come together and to remember that we are in the midst of that joining back together right now, and one day it will be completely joined back together. So let me read to you how Paul describes this. In the 11th chapter of his first letter to the Corinthians, he writes the following: "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you has God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat. For when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another person gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you so despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup in the new covenant of my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So every so often, as a church, we come together with these elements. Typically bread that the Holtys have made and just Welch's grape juice. But we come together to remember that we are united in Christ because of the fact that he has defeated death. We come together to proclaim his death and to proclaim that he's coming again. Today, we come together through video. And I would encourage you, if you didn't have a chance to get juice and bread, to get something else to use. I hope that you have juice and bread. But if you don't, whatever you need to help you remember is okay. For on the night that the Lord was betrayed, he took the bread, he gave thanks for it, and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, he gave thanks for it, and he said, "This is my blood. The new covenant comes from it. Whenever you take it, remember." When we eat, we remember. Clive is thinking he gets this treat. We remember the Lord's death. We remember that he defeated death. We remember that because of the fact that he is alive, he is coming again, and one day there will be no more death of any sort. There are still seas that we face now. Sometimes they're the 6 to 12 feet of distance that we have for social, physical distancing. Sometimes they're what happens at our door when we try to chase the world out. But one day there will be no more sea. We eat and we remember. Remember. Would you pray with me, please? Father, while we are separate, remind us that you are with us. While we are separate, remind us that your love overcomes separations. That one day there will be a world where there is no more sea, for there is no more death. Right now, help us to be united as well as we can be, knowing that one day this separation will disappear. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who we remember was raised. Amen. I know. I thought you were going to get that. Guys, remember.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. There's no place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your love, here in your love.
Please join us as we sing our closing prayer.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Kids, when we last left the story, Jesus had died. He was put into a tomb that had been carved out of a solid rock, and then a very big stone was rolled in front of the doorway to the tomb. The Jewish leaders were afraid that someone might steal Jesus' body and say that he was raised from the dead, so they asked Pilate to put a special seal on the stone in front of the tomb and put guards in front of it. That was on Friday, the first day. Saturday, the second day passed, and all was quiet. Then on the third day, Sunday, some women sadly made their way to the tomb. It was a custom for women to come and put sweet-smelling spices on the body of the person that died. But the women were worried. They had heard about the big stone in front of the tomb. Who would move the stone so they could put spices on the body of Jesus? When the women arrived at the tomb, they saw that the stone had already been moved. A man dressed in white, an angel, was beside the tomb and said, "Don't be afraid. You are looking for Jesus from Nazareth, the one who was killed on a cross. He has risen from the dead. He is not here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Now go and tell his followers and Peter, Jesus is going into Galilee. He will be there before you. You will see him there as he told you before." This is what had happened just before the women arrived. There was a violent earthquake, and an angel of the Lord came down out of heaven like a lightning bolt. His clothes were as white as snow. The angel went to the tomb and rolled back the huge stone and then sat on it. The guards were so afraid that they couldn't move. Finally, they ran away to tell the Jewish leaders what had happened. The Jewish leaders didn't want anyone to know the truth, so they gave the soldiers lots of money and told them to tell everyone that the disciples had come during the night and stolen Jesus' body. The women left to tell the other followers of Jesus. Peter and John came to see. Everyone was amazed. But one of the women, Mary Magdalene, stayed behind. She was in the tomb crying because she could not understand how Jesus's body could be gone. How could the tomb be empty? Maybe someone had stolen it. But Mary was not alone in the tomb. Two angels spoke to her and asked her why she was crying. She began to explain, but then heard another voice. At first she didn't know who was speaking, but then she heard him say, "Mary." When she heard him say her name, Mary, she knew it was Jesus, her teacher, speaking. Jesus had come back from the dead. Jesus spoke to Mary and told her to go and tell the others that he would spend some time on earth with him, but that he would be returning to his Father soon. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to many people. Two men were walking along a road talking about Jesus when he appeared right there with them. His apostles had gathered, and he had appeared right there in the room with them. He ate with them and even let them touch the scars he had from when he had been crucified. More and more people began to realize that Jesus was no longer dead. Jesus was alive.